So it's Hebrews 4, and it's page 1203 on the Church Bibles. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Joints and marrow, it divides the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Thank you, Mimi. Well, do keep that passage open and we'll pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Please help us now to understand it, to believe it, to take it to our hearts, and to be changed more into the likeness of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. How much does rest matter to you? We're very conflicted when it comes to rest. We all say we want time off, but then we check our emails on our phones. So unable is our society to switch off that we rely on alcohol. We cannot be at rest within ourselves. Apparently the Queen has a way of just closing her eyes and resting within herself, wherever she happens to be. I think quite a few of us have a way of resting with our eyes shut during sermons. I can't criticize anybody for that. Here in Hebrews 1, the promise of entering God's rest still stands. Now remember, these are Jewish Christians in the 60s AD who attempted to go back from Christianity to Judaism because they are being persecuted. And the author says, stay with Jesus. He is God's final word to you. He is superior to angels. He is our sympathetic high priest. He is greater than Moses. And if you harden your heart against Jesus, chapter 3, verse 11, you will never enter rest. But, chapter 4, verse 1, the promise of entering God's rest still stands. Now this rest is multi-layered. God rests in verses 3 and 4. God models Sabbath rest to us when he finishes making the world. In other words, he enjoys his creation. He doesn't actually rest from sustaining it. Then there's the rest which comes from living in the promised land in verse 8. This was an experience of rest from enemies. But we know there's a rest that comes in Jesus. Jesus said, Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is an experience of rest from sin and shame. And finally, there's the rest which we'll experience in the new creation in verses 9 to 11. And when we know God's ultimate rest in heaven, we're able to rest from all the things which steal our peace. We're able to rest from sin, fundamentally. We're able to rest from that nagging insecurity which keeps us working excessively. The person who enters God's rest can rest from their work now, in verse 10. So two things to say about this. Don't miss this rest, and don't perish by disobedience. And those headings are on the backs of your notice sheets. Firstly then, don't miss this rest, verses 1 to 7. I don't know when you feel you might have missed out on something. In the 1970s, Steve Wozniak was working for Hewlett-Packard. In his own time, he designed a new computer and took it to the leadership of HP. "Would you be interested in buying this computer and taking it to the market?" The directors of HP listened to Wozniak's idea and they said, "No, we're not interested. It's just not us." So Wozniak left HP and started his own company on the 1st of April 1976. He called it Apple Computers. You just might have heard of Apple. HP went on record as saying, "It's one of the biggest mistakes they've ever made to let Wozniak and his great computer go, not least because it cost them millions and millions of dollars." We've all made bad mistakes and missed out on things. But here is one issue we must get right. Chapter 4, verse 1. The promise of entering God's rest still stands. The ultimate promise of going to heaven. So let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. That would be disastrous, to come to Christ Church, but to fall short of God's rest. Verse 2, "For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed." So what makes the difference? You hear the good news about Jesus. How does it become effective? How do you enter this rest? Answer: you share the faith of those who obeyed. What is faith? Faith is trusting in something or someone. Think of what you're doing now. You're trusting your chair. You're leaning all your weight on your chair. You are believing that it will hold you up. That's faith. We believe. We believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for all our sin, and that we can be forgiven, put right with God, and know that we're going to heaven. We have to trust in Jesus. "Yes, I believe. I believe you can hold my weight, Jesus. I believe you can carry me into my rest." But if you don't exercise this faith, you miss out on the rest. Verse 3, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. There was a whole generation who were rescued from slavery in Egypt, but never made it to the promised land. They never made it to the rest of Canaan because of disobedience and lack of faith. Faith and obedience always go together. If you can't trust Jesus to be your Savior, if you won't trust Jesus to be your Lord, you have to allow Jesus to direct your life as Lord. That's why Jesus preached, repent and believe. Repent of disobeying God. Make Jesus your King. And on that basis, believe on him to be your Savior. God models rest to us, as we said earlier, verse 3b. He finished his work when he finished making the world. And so verse 4, he spoke of the seventh day as the Sabbath. God is a believer in rest. He shows us that we need rest. We need a day a week. We need time set apart for Christian teaching and fellowship. But the repeated point is made in verse 5, quoting again from Psalm 95. They shall never enter my rest. I remember when I was a little boy, we all used to play together as children in the street. And one summer's evening, one of the mums said, I'll take all the children to the fair. We lived near the seaside. And we all ran back to our parents, can we go to the fair? And my parents said, we haven't got any cash. I know, it's sad, isn't it? I think this was the days before cash machines were ubiquitous. And I thought, I'm going to miss out. But my parents turned the house upside down. They found enough money down the back of sofas. And I was able to go to the fair. I didn't miss out. I was so grateful. It wouldn't have mattered if I had missed out on the fair. It really mattered to me that night. But far more importantly, does it matter to you if you miss out on God's rest? See verse 6. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly heard the good news preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Some missed out on the rest. You still have the opportunity today. Today is the day of salvation. Today, not tomorrow. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Any one of us could die tonight. Today, we must not harden our hearts. Do not harden your heart. Don't miss this rest. And secondly, don't perish by disobedience. Verses 8 to 13. We've already seen it was disobedience which kept the people from the rest of the promised land. And it is disobedience to the gospel which will keep us from the rest of heaven. Verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. So there was the rest of entering the promised land. But it was a disappointment. There is a greater rest of entering the new creation in Jesus. Verse 9. And the Sabbath day is a picture of this rest. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. When the people rested in the Old Testament on the Sabbath, they experienced something of God's rest. When we take Sabbath on a Sunday, we're not bound by laws of what you can and cannot do on a Sunday. But it's a wonderful thing to set aside a day for God. It's refreshing. Becca and I never worked on Sundays at university, even if we had an exam on Monday. It has to be said, Becca was rather more successful than me. But an experience of Sabbath did us good. Verse 10. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. If we've entered Jesus' rest of forgiveness and relationship with God, we rest from our work. We're able not to check the emails. We're able to trust that we've done enough revision. God's way is the best way. Therefore, verse 11, let us make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. We have a choice of examples to follow: Jesus or the disobedient Israelites who perished in the wilderness. Don't perish by disobedience. I heard Richard Cokin give this illustration. I think he was talking about himself. Richard came to preach at St. Ebbs when Becca and I were students. And he said this: a man did a parachute jump. In the first practice session, everyone was sitting in the classroom waiting for the instructor to arrive. Everyone was acting as if they weren't scared to be falling out of a plane a mile up. Everyone was a bit cocky. Eventually, the instructor arrives, an army type. He just walks in, writes on the board in huge letters, "Parachute jumping can be fatal." With that, he walks out of the room. Now everyone is visibly nervous. The cocksure attitude is gone. After a while, the instructor returns. And he says this: after jumping from a moving aircraft, a human body traveling at terminal velocity, when it hits the ground, will be distributed over an area approximately equivalent to 2 football pitches. Therefore, what I am telling you is extremely important. And what I am saying to you today is even more important. There is a rest to be enjoyed and a hell to be avoided. Because, you see, God is a God of judgment. Verse 12. God's word is alive and active. God deals with us on the basis of his word. He speaks creation into being. Jesus speaks, and the dead are raised. It's an awesome thing to hold the word of God in our hands, and of course to read it. We like to think the word of God is nice. It's not nice. It's a lethal weapon. Look at verse 12. Sharper than any double-edged sword. God is to be feared. As we read his word, he judges our life. And the way we respond to the judgment of today, reading God's word today, controls the way we are judged on the last day. If we repent and believe God's word today, on the last day, when we stand before Jesus as our judge, we will enter rest. If not, we won't. God's word penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Have you known that experience of judgment? God, I know I stand guilty before you. Verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I wonder, what are you ashamed of? Everything will be uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Christ. I would be terrified of that day if I didn't know Jesus has died for me. Don't miss this rest. Don't perish by disobedience. Rather, come to Christ. In a moment, we're going to take communion. In communion, or the Lord's Supper, we remember that there is a way of entering God's rest. There's a way of going to heaven. The song which says, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open, and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Will you do that today? Do you realize you haven't experienced God's rest in this life? You're not confident of entering God's rest in the new creation. Well, if that's you, the Lord's Supper is for you. In the Lord's Supper, we eat the bread, which reminds us that Jesus' body was broken on the cross for us. And we drink the wine, or equivalent, to remember that Jesus' blood was shed for us. And when Jesus was nailed to the cross, God the Father laid on Jesus his wrath, his just anger for my sin and your sin. And Jesus took the punishment for that sin. He made atonement by satisfying the wrath of God. That means there's no more wrath for us to face. God now smiles on us, loves us, forgives us, blesses us, pours out his Spirit on us, because Jesus has made atonement for our sin. This is what we remember in the Lord's Supper. And when we eat and drink, we're making Christ's death personal for us. We're saying, Jesus, I am trusting in you. I'm trusting in you alone to save me from God's wrath, for God's rest. I wonder, are these things true for you? In a moment, we'll have a period of silence when each one of us can meditate on what Jesus has done for us. And if you want Jesus to be your king and to be your rescuer from wrath for rest, you take the bread and the wine. But you must mean it. It must be your resolution to trust in Christ. So let's take a moment of silence for each one of us to talk to the Lord.